From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns brings the final portion of a message entitled The Characteristics of a Work of God at Philippi, part of a series of studies in the book of Acts. Before Dr. Cairns comes, please enjoy this brief devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection, Morning by Morning.
Our text for this morning is found in Psalm 22 and verse 14. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. Did earth or heaven ever behold a sadder spectacle of woe? In soul and body, our Lord felt himself to be weak as water poured upon the ground. The placing of the cross in its socket had shaken him with great violence, had strained all the ligaments, pained every nerve, and more or less dislocated all his bones. Burdened with his own weight, the august sufferer felt the strain increasing every moment of those 6 long hours. His sense of faintness and general weakness were overpowering, while to his own consciousness he became nothing but a mass of misery and swooning sickness. When Daniel saw the great vision, he thus describes his sensations. There remained no strength in me, for my vigor was turned into corruption, and I retained no strength. How much more faint must have been our great prophet when he saw the dread vision of the wrath of God and felt it in his own soul! To us, sensations such as our Lord endured would have been insupportable, and kind unconsciousness would have come to our rescue. But in his case, he was wounded and felt the sword. He drained the cup and tasted every drop. O King of Grief, a title strange yet true to thee of all kings only due. O King of Wounds, how shall I grieve for thee, who in all grief preventest me? As we kneel before our now ascended Savior's throne, let us remember well the way by which he prepared it as a throne of grace for us. Let us in spirit drink of his cup, that we may be strengthened for our hour of heaviness, whenever it may come. In his natural body every member suffered, and so it must be in the spiritual. But as out of all his griefs and woes his body came forth uninjured to glory and power, even so shall his mystical body come through the furnace with not so much as the smell of fire upon it.
Is it nothing to you that heaven's King came down to this world of woe, and that he suffered and bled and rose from the dead, that eternal is it nothing to you that grace is free, and that God in his love doth call? Is it nothing to you? Is it nothing to you? Is it nothing? Is it nothing to you that some sweet day in the heavenly land so fair, oh, you may join the song that the ransomed throng are forever nothing.
Is it nothing to you?
Is it nothing? Nothing to you?
Regular Bible reading is an essential part of the Christian life. In the Holy Scriptures, God has given us everything we need to know for salvation, for spiritual growth, and for the many issues and problems that believers face. However, many Christians do not profit from the Bible as they should because they have no guidance as to how to study it. Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study. As the newly formed missionary team of Paul, Silas, and Timothy began the second missionary journey, they were led by the Holy Spirit to carry the gospel into Europe. Dr. Cairns is pointing out the many important characteristics in this passage that churches and individual believers would do well to learn as they seek to reach the lost. Among these are obedience to the Lord, a vision of the need of souls, and especially faithfulness in prayer. As in the days of the apostles, there is a need for soul-winning preaching as well as a separated stand for the gospel. Although those who would faithfully declare the gospel will face bitter opposition, they need to maintain a joyful testimony, even as Paul and Silas did. Now here is Dr. Cairns to bring the final portion of a message entitled, The Characteristics of a Work of God at Philippi.
You don't have fellowship with the devil, even when for his own ends he's telling the truth. That's the fallacy of the ecumenical movement. That's the fallacy of the charismatic movement, or one of the fallacies of the charismatic movement. Let's get all together. As soon as we have something in common, let's forget our differences. Let's get what we have in common and go forward. Go forward with the devil. We see some rascal of a Unitarian, a modernist, a Roman Catholic bishop, whose sworn doctrines are that if a person says he's assured of salvation, he is deceived and let him be anathema. Whose sworn doctrine is that the blood of Jesus Christ shed on Calvary is not a sufficient atonement for sin, but that it must be augmented first by masses and then by human merit. That's not the way you do the work of God. And I say it this morning, it is not the work of God you're doing. And any work for God done is done in spite of you and not through you. Let's get this. The Lord's very straight about this. This is separation. As it's expressed in the ministry of God's servants, you do not have any compromise or fellowship with the devil. That's it. Plain and simple. Now, if God's people would follow God's word in its basic doctrinal principles, they wouldn't have any difficulty working out the word of God and its application in their lives. God's people get into all sorts, should I do this, should I do this, should I do the other thing? And the trouble is they have never gone to the root of the matter. If you go to the root of the matter and to first principles and apply the word of God there, then you'll have no difficulty with the little offshoots and branches later on. Now look, separation. You don't have anything to do with the devil. Just getting off the subject but making the same statement, let me remind every young Christian of this. Maybe you're having a battle sometimes about your own assurance of salvation. Let me tell you a golden rule. Never talk to the devil. Every time I get in an inquiry room with a person who's worried about their salvation, they say, the devil is bringing all this against me. And I said, yes, and you have sat down and you've argued with the devil. Yes, that's right. Not a bit of wonder you're defeated. The Lord never tells you to have an argument with the devil. You talk to the Lord, not to the devil. What on earth are God's people coming to when they're spending their time talking to Satan instead of talking to the Lord? You have no business talking to the devil. Have nothing to do with him in any shape or form. You get talking to the Lord. That's separation. The church goes forward in separation. Now with that, there'll be bitter opposition. 19 through to 24. I want you to see something. Whether the devil tries to get you with the sweet voice of compromise, or whether he tries to get you with the whipping rods of opposition, he's just always about the same business. He's about the business of stopping the work of God. The devil's never out for your good. He's out to wreck you. He's out to wreck the work of God. Now, he didn't manage to succeed here by compromise. So out comes the bitter opposition. The Bible says that all that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. In Luke chapter 17, and in the very first verse, the Lord Jesus Christ warned his disciples. Let's learn it, because we're going to have to learn it. It is impossible, but that offenses will come. Offenses will come. If you're going to live for the Lord, you'll cause offense. If you're going to live for the Lord and do a work for God, the devil's going to get raging mad at you. You've got to be prepared for that. It is impossible, but that offenses will come. There's no way. I have warned this people. And I warn you again. I'm here to pray for revival. And I believe in a God who can send revival. I'm here to pray for a great and a gracious movement of the Holy Ghost. But I'll tell you something. As soon as the Lord does that, this church will be up to its eyes in battles and oppositions. And sometimes the bitterest oppositions of all are those from God's people, from other branches of the Christian church who ought to be standing with you. They'll be standing against you. You'll hear that as you listen to Mr. Campbell's tape. Some Christians who don't agree with every word you say and everything you do, and they'll cut you to shreds just because you're not one of them. It happened in the Isle of Lewis revival. It'll happen here. Opposition. My friend, that's the offense of the cross. I'll tell you this, through it all, and this is a secret. The secret of being anything for God. Through it all, let's maintain a joyful testimony. Verse 25 through to verse 40. I want you to see this. Paul was in prison. What was he doing? Praying, yes. Singing at midnight. I want you to see him. Don't you think for a minute that the jail in Philippi was like the jails you have in the United States? This is the inmost dungeon. And the word that the jailer sprang in means he sprang down. They were in a deep dungeon. Subterranean. Not a window, not a shaft of light. Dark, dismal, damp, infested with all sorts of maybe rats or whatever you have down there. You'll always have rats and cockroaches and all the rest of it. You can see them there. Not much to be happy about. A lot to get bitter about. But he's singing. Singing at midnight. His body's a mass of aches and bruises, and the blood has congealed in the open wounds right the length and breadth of his frame. He was only a man. He must have been sore from head to toe. And he's singing. Man, if there's one thing shows us what it is to be in touch with God, there it is. The scripture says that the Lord gives songs in the night. Well, here he gives the songs in the night. And the sight and the sound of that testimony to God's saving and sovereign and sustaining grace must have lived for a long time in the minds of the people at Philippi. I want to tell you something. Paul didn't preach for very long in Philippi. He didn't. But I'll tell you, long after his voice was silent, his joyful testimony for the Lord lived on. Dr. Paisley always used to say, they always used to tell his congregation to keep sweet with the Lord. Always used to tell the preachers, whatever happens in your ministry, whatever goes wrong in your church, whoever lets you down, when your closest friends and even your colleagues turn away from you, he says, keep sweet with the Lord. Have a joyful testimony. Because look, long after your voice of preaching is over, your testimony is going to tell for God. There are evangelists, and long after they have gone, the sweet savor of their ministry lives on. There are preachers and ministers, and long after they've left the church, the savor of their ministry lives on. And there are others, and as soon as they're gone, they're forgotten and you're glad to forget. What's the difference? They both preach the same message. The difference, my friend, is in the testimony they have for God. Now, here are seven things. We have only had time just to skirt along the top of them this morning. Here are seven things. And I'm making this statement absolutely and without reservation this morning. Give us these things in the hearts of God's people here. Give us these things, and we'll see God do for us what he did for the apostle. We'll see a Philippi born in Greenville. I have no doubt that God is the same. I have a great friend, I have mentioned him many times, Jordan Kahn, a great Indian evangelist and preacher, not American Indian, the Indian Indian. Jordan Kahn, in a heathen country, has seen God do mighty things. In a land where missionaries labor for 20 years and never see one Muslim saved, he has seen hundreds and hundreds of Muslims saved. And he said, people come to me and they say, Pentecost is not for today. He said, I always ask them, have you ever prayed for 10 days for the Holy Ghost to come in power? No. Well, when you have, come back and tell me Pentecost is not for today. That same man went to one of the leading missionary societies of the Western world. And they had hundreds of missionaries there in India. And he was invited to come along to speak to the annual missionaries meetings. He was there. At first, they were sorry they asked him, although later they were delighted. He got up to preach and he didn't preach. He just started. Right in the front row, he said, you, have you seen a soul in India saved this year? No. Last year? No. The year before? No. You. And right along. Missionaries with red faces, tear-stained faces. Then he got at them about their prayer life. They were seeing nothing, for they weren't in touch with God. I want to tell you, not when Jordan Kahn had finished with them, but when God had finished with them, it was a broken bunch of missionaries went back to their fields. But if you had come to them the next year, you'd have seen a remarkable difference. Any soul saved this year? Ah, what a difference. Yes! But what's the difference? India's the same. The Muslims are the same. What's the difference? We have a people now, and they're in touch with God. I believe that God means what he says and says what he means when he says, I am Jehovah. I do not change. I do not change. And God will always use a praying, faithful people. And if we're not being used, it's because we are not a praying, faithful people. May God make us so. And let these principles of extension and outreach be seen and felt and experienced in and through this church, in and through you as an individual, whatever church you belong to. And may God make you and us what we ought to be for God, for the glory of his own name. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father in heaven, bless thy word. Lord, we need this reviving grace and power. Lord, we need the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. We need today, Lord, what Paul and Silas and Timothy and Luke had in Philippi. We need the power that will see a church established and souls saved, even when the devil's raging mad against us. Oh, God, our Father, bless us, we pray. Establish thy work. We pray for a breath of revival here in Greenville. Lord, there's religion on every side. But oh, for the reality of the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Oh, for power to see sinners gloriously and genuinely saved. Oh, for something from God that will change the whole community. That the presence of God and the power of the Holy Ghost and conviction of sin and the sight of the Lord's holiness and glory may be everywhere evident. Oh, Lord, that thou wilt be doing a work in these days which will make the ears of them that hear it to tingle. Lord, answer prayer. Give fruit for the preaching of thy word. And as we separate one from another, take us our several ways in safety. Bless the Sunday school hour to follow, and grant that thy word may again be a blessing to every waiting heart. We pray, giving thee our thanks, in Jesus' name and in the merits of his atoning blood. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.